Welcome along this evening. Glad you're here. May I just move this a little bit? Is that okay? All right. Now, welcome to Brother Lee and Dorothy as well. Congratulations on the birth of the grandchild. All right. He said he couldn't tell me about it when I was talking to him on the phone this morning. He says, "Mum is the word." I said, okay. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for your word. Speak to us now from this blessed book in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, we've been talking about the will of God, and I've been trying to cover the will of God for you, helping us to understand the will of God, to know the will of God, to find the will of God, and to do the will of God. Let me just revamp the outline that I used. And number one was, there has to be a personal desire, firstly, to know and do the will of God. You'll never find or do the will of God unless you have a desire, number one, to find it, number two, to do it. Then, of course, I said sometimes, as you read through the Word of God, you realize God uses circumstances to direct people through the will of God. We see that in the life of so many. But I also said, don't just rely on circumstances. God has used circumstances to reveal his will, but circumstances aren't always the way to determine the will of God. I also said that the Spirit's guidance is important. It's important in knowing the will of God. The Holy Spirit lives within us, and he directs us according to his word. So it's important to use all of these things to find and know the will of God, relying and trusting in the Spirit of God to lead and direct. I also said that there's the common sense factor or the scriptural sense factor of finding the will of God. There's just some things that stand out. And so sometimes you just have to be confronted with the logic of the situation, and the Holy Spirit will say, "See, I told you. See, I told you." And we saw that with the Apostle Paul when he was on the ship traveling across the Mediterranean to appeal unto Caesar. And he pointed out to them, "You know, I told you shouldn't have left that island, but you didn't listen. We're going to have suffer a shipwreck, so you better listen to me this time." And so as we look at that, there's common sense. Sometimes God shows us things through the common sense, the logic of the situation. And then we also looked at the fifth thing, and I'll mention that to you tonight, the counsel of godly friends. You can't get away from the importance of counsel in finding and determining the will of God. The counsel of God, that word, the counsel of the Lord, is used throughout the scripture, and so it's important to consult the counsel of God. Psalm 1, verse 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." We don't need to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We're surrounded by ungodly people, and don't get your advice from television, Hollywood, or women's magazines or anything like that. That's the counsel of the ungodly. So don't consult Hollywood or these sorts of people. And listen, the internet. Be wary of the internet, because there's a lot of ungodly counsel on that. This is the book to consult, okay? This will direct you. And the counsel of the Lord, the Bible says, shall stand. The counsel of the Lord shall stand. The counsel of the wicked. Job says, "The counsel of the wicked be far from me." That's not mine. Job said, "The counsel of the wicked be far from me." And so as we look at counsel, it's important to get godly counsel. The counsel of God, the counsel of godly parents. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about honoring your parents. And so if you've got unsaved parents, you know, I thank God that my dad, even though he was an unsaved man, he did instill a lot of good principles within me. Principles like, it's wrong to steal. I mean, that's logic. But, you know, as you think about ungodly parents or parents that are not saved, sometimes they'll give you counsel as a believer that will lead you astray. So always seek godly counsel. If you've got godly parents, certainly consult them. But also, you need to seek the godly counsel of preachers and pastors and men of God. Turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. The counsel of godly people. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So the more counsel you get, the more you're able to determine God's direction. The man that discipled me, Brother Manley, he said, Brother Bernie, he said, get as much counsel as you can from as many as you can, godly people. He said, and you go before the Lord and you ask the Lord to show you which is the best counsel to follow, and then go by the word of God and the leading of God's Spirit. So godly counsel. And sometimes you get conflict and contradiction between godly people. And so that's where you have to come to the point and say, well, Lord, you're not the author of confusion. I need guidance. What should I do? So also consult godly men. Where did I say? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Wherefore, Paul said, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Also chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Godly preachers who follow God, who follow God's word, who are a godly example, they would be the people to consult in finding and knowing the will of God and doing the will of God. Godly preachers. Hebrews chapter 13, you're familiar with that, I'm sure. Hebrews chapter 13, that's an important verse to know in seeking godly counsel. Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Men who have spoken unto you of the word of God, men who live according to the word of God, men who have a godly example, these are the ones to consult. It would be wrong for you to consult the counsel of worldly preachers. They will lead you astray. They'll take you down that path of liberalism, compromise and concession making. So that's why it's important that you consult godly men who will have a godly example for you. Philippians 3:17. Philippians chapter 3 verse 17. I want to try and cover this. I don't want to skip this. So Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul said, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk. So you have us for an example. So following a good example, don't follow a bad example. So if you know a godly man who's living a godly life, who's a godly preacher and takes a good stance, that would be the one to follow. But disobedient preachers, compromising preachers, concession-making preachers, they would be the ones not to follow. So yes, follow a godly example. I won't use any more verses on that, so that should be ample verses to show you. Follow a good example, a godly example, and preachers can be a godly example to you. Also, teachers. Godly teachers, that people who know the Word of God and teach the Word of God, you can follow their guidance, their counsel, and their example as well. You know, I read this week, Brother Les, there was a teacher here in town here that actually was smoking a marijuana bong at a school down out in Menai. Did anybody read that? Anybody know about that? Yeah, so she had a few mental issues, and she said to some of the kids, anybody like to have a smoke with me? Somebody videoed it, and she was smoking marijuana in a bong and had some of the kids do it too. Well, that's not a very good example, is it? So, you know, when you look at teachers, they need to be godly teachers who take a godly stand. And, I worked in the public school system teaching RE or RI, if you call it that down here, one school for 18 years. Only a couple of Christians in that school, but I never had any conflict with those teachers. They backed up what I taught. You know, they never ever contradicted what I taught, and I'd say things in there from the Word of God, and I'd contradict what they teach, and they say, yeah, that's right. So that's good. Hopefully some of those teachers will get saved. So always follow the guidance and counsel of godly teachers. If they don't know the Lord, will it be wrong to follow them, okay? That's why you need to know godly teachers. Look over at 1 Kings chapter 12. The advice and counsel of godly friends. Don't listen to ungodly friends. Now, young people have a danger of getting on social media and being hounded and being pounded by ungodly people on social media. That's the wrong place to go for advice. I've seen young people who've, godly young people who've been trying to find the will of God, and they talk to other Christian young people on the internet through social media, and you know what? They're going to the wrong people to get advice. Their friends will try and deter them from finding and doing the will of God. Oh, you're too young for that. Wait till you're a bit older and then seek the will of God. No, you can know the will of God at an early age. 1 Kings, if you'll turn there, please. Let me get there. 1 Kings. So I try to tell you that to help you on your way, because we'll all have conflict in our life, and you certainly need godly guidance to keep out of trouble. So here in 1 Kings chapter 12, look down here in verse 8 with me. 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 8. I've made reference to this in preaching in this church and also in teaching the kids in the school through devotions and chapel. And it says here in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 8, "But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him." Now, taking the counsel of your peers, as we see here, can get you into trouble, okay? And so that's why even godly young people need to give godly counsel to their peers. And so godly counsel usually comes from an older generation. What we're finding, sadly, in churches around Australia today is that younger preachers get into the pulpit and they say, "It's time to get rid of the oldies. They're the ones that are holding everything back." And that comes from that guy, Rick Warren. Some of the stuff that he teaches has destroyed churches all across the world. So I would certainly steer clear of the counsel of fellows like Rick Warren and the guy from Willow Creek. I can't even remember his name. But anyway, there's sorts of people like that that will give you counsel. Everybody's doing it, so it's all right for you to do it too. No, it's not. Follow the teachings of godly people, godly friends. Look at verse 14 here. So he forsook the counsel of the old men in verse 8. Verse 14, he spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. I'll teach you people a lesson. You thought my father was tough? Well, I will be tougher." You know what it cost him his kingdom? God told him, he said, "If you don't listen to me and follow my guidance," God said, "you're going to lose your kingdom. I'm going to take 10 of those tribes and I'm going to give them to a servant of your father, and you'll lose that." And that's what happened. He didn't follow the counsel of God. He didn't follow the counsel of older godly men, and he lost his kingdom. That was Rehoboam. All right, so let's have a look also. Godly friends. You need godly friends. Look over in the book of Job. Now, Job was in trouble. See, God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's not a man like him on the face of the earth." And the devil said, "Yeah, he doesn't serve you for nothing. Take away his protection, remove the hedge from him, get your hand off him, let me have him." And I'll tell you what, Job was saying, "I'll turn him against you." God said, "No, you won't." See, God knew the integrity of Job. Down here in, lost my place. Wasn't paying attention. Job chapter 2. So that's what happens when you don't listen to yourself. Job chapter 2. Look down verse 11 with me. Job 2 verse 11. "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle, and every one sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven." They looked at Job and they were grieved. 7 nights, not a word was spoken. So Job must have been in big trouble. But you know, as you follow through the book of Job, they did not have counsel for Job that was godly counsel. They criticized him, they judged him, and I tell you what, towards the end of the book of Job, God steps in and God rebukes those people for their ungodly counsel. So Sometimes your friends don't give you the right sort of counsel. These people certainly criticised Job. So get godly counsel from your friends, from preachers, from your parents. Let me just skip quickly through a few verses of Proverbs. And Proverbs is a great book. Read it every day. There's enough chapters in there to cover a month. And then go back and double up on a couple of chapters throughout the month. And read it constantly. It'll make you wise. It'll give you counsel on how to stay out of trouble, young people. It'll give you counsel on the sort of people to hang around and the sort of people to stay away from. Sort of places to go and the sort of places not to go. So look here quickly. We're in the book of Proverbs. We'll skip through these and hopefully cover a bit of ground tonight to give you a little bit of wisdom from the Word of God. After all, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, there the people fall. But in the multitude of counsels, there is safety. That's why it's good to go and get as much counsel and get the counsel that would agree with the Word of God to help find the will of God. So where no counsel is, the people fall. If you don't get counsel, you could fall flat on your face. Okay, so that's why it's wise to get counsel. Look at chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Isn't that so true today? But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Follow good counsel. Follow godly counsel. If you don't, you could fall flat on your face. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Chapter 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13, 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Where does all trouble start? Right there, it tells you. Only by pride cometh contention. All trouble starts from pride. But also it tells us down there, with the godly, there is wisdom. Look at chapter 15, verse 22. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. So the Bible makes reference to a multitude of counselors. Go to a number of counselors, get godly counsel, and take it to the Lord and say, well, Lord, guide me, direct me, show me from your word, and look at all these other things that we've shown you, and God will give you the peace that passeth all understanding. Look over here in Proverbs 20 and verse 18. Proverbs 20, verse 18. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. You know, when you follow through the word of God, God also told the children of Israel how to go out and fight their battles. He gave them counsel on what they should do. And incidentally, when they didn't follow God's counsel and advice on fighting a war, they lost. So what does it say there? Be sure as you get down there in verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you know, you're not going to go out and fight a battle unless you're willing to count the cost first. And that's why it's wise not to go to war unless you can win, because it's going to cost you something. All right, number six. This is one of the greatest parts of knowing and determining the will of God. It's called the Council of Peace, P-E-A-C-E, the Council of Peace. There are several verses on this. Look over in the book of Job. Job chapter 22, if you would please. Job chapter 22. So I'm sure you want to know the will of God. You want to do the will of God. We're trying to give you a structure here to go by that will help you in determining and knowing the will of God. Job chapter 22, if you look down with me in verse 21. Job said, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Acquaint thyself with him. Get to know God, get close to God, and as you get close to God, he will give you peace. And that's the promise not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians 3, 15. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, if you look there with me, please. The Council of Peace. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. What I want you to see in this verse is the first part of it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The word rule here, where peace is God's umpire, let the peace of God be the decision maker in your life on decisions you need to make to be in the will of God. If there's conflict in decision making, you need to wait. Paul said, in much patience. If you're unsure, wait. Wait on the Lord. And how often do we read that scripture to wait on the Lord? So the counsel of peace. Peace is the decision maker. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God be the decision maker. If you don't have peace about it, don't do it. If you don't have peace about it, and let me tell you something, the devil will try and steal away the right sort of peace, but the Holy Spirit will give you the right sort of peace. The devil will try and confuse that. So don't let the devil confuse you on that. Philippians 4, verse 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Peace. The counsel of peace. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. It's most important in knowing and determining and doing the will of God. If you don't have the peace of God on something, wait. Don't rush out there and regret what you're going to do unless you know what God's will is and you determine what God's will is. If you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, go ahead. All right, so let peace be God's umpire. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, Isaiah 26, 3, Old Testament verses here. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Get your mind on God and get direction from God, and don't let the devil come along and try and confuse you. God will never confuse you. God will give you confidence, and God will give you peace in the right decision making. And then, of course, if you look two verses in John, one is John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. If you look down with me here in verse 33, John chapter 16, verse 33, the Lord Jesus Christ said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He said, I have spoken these things unto you, that in me you might have peace. There is peace in Christ. Now the world is in conflict. And the world does not have the peace that you and I enjoy. People are out there trying to find peace, but they will never find peace until they settle it with the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. If you look down with me in verse 27 here in John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. That's the peace of God. That's the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Watch this. Not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. I don't give you the peace that the world gives. He says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The peace of God comes, passes all understanding, and it is a peace where your heart will not be troubled and it will not be afraid. And when we act by faith, in God's will, you will have the peace to do that. There will not be any fear. If you look through the book of Hebrews and see how that the people were led by God through faith, you'll find there were things that were done that were insurmountable, impossible, invisible. They did it because of faith in Christ. Moses endured as seeing him who was invisible. And so trust in the Lord. Take the counsel of God, the counsel of peace, and it will help you to make those right decisions. Peace is the decision maker. Peace is God's umpire. And lastly, and most importantly, is the counsel of God's word. You can't go past the word of God. It's the most important thing to consult. If you're unsure, get into the word of God and ask God to enlighten me, Lord. Show me, Lord. Direct me as I read through the word of God. Impress upon me the verses of scripture as I read, and then write them down. Okay? That's Psalm 33. Had a young man, he was going to get married, and he came to me and he said, "I don't know what to do." Well, I said, "Have you prayed about it?" He said, "Yeah, but I still don't know." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, you go home, get in the Word of God, read through the Psalms, read through Proverbs, and ask God to guide you as you read through, and God will give you the peace that passeth all understanding, and you will come to the conclusion that God wants you to have." He married that girl. I had the privilege of marrying that couple. That was my first wedding. And they're still together, praise the Lord. All right, so I tied the knot pretty tight. That's what you've got to do. Or tie the knot pretty tight. So Psalm 33, verse 11. "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations." The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. You can't go wrong with the counsel of God. Don't follow ungodly counsel. Psalm 119, the Word of God Psalm, I think there's only two verses in there where the Word of God's not referenced there and called something else. Psalm 119, verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That is a guide, mate. It will shine the way and show you how to go about this, how to determine and find the will of God. Verse 130 also, it says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." You want light? You want guidance? Psalm 119 tells us that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Then verse 133. Pray this. I tell our people up there, we need to pray from the Word of God. Pray verses of Scripture as prayers, because that's what they are. Look at this one here, 133. "Go to the Lord and say, Dear Lord, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." That's a good prayer. So it's good to pray the prayers from the Psalms and various other places. See how men like Elijah prayed and how Jesus prayed and how so many others prayed. Take that example and follow that example. Also, if you'll turn over here to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, great psalm. Psalm 40. This is a good psalm to memorize. Good psalm to memorize the first three or four verses. Psalm 40, verse 1, "I waited patiently." Remember I said, if you're not sure, wait. The psalmist says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Take those two verses there and follow the counsel of God's word. "He hath put a new song in my mouth." You'll be shouting praises for the leadership of God. "He brought me out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay," and says, "he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." That's the leadership of God from the Word of God. And as you read through the Word of God, there'll be plenty of indicators of the right, the wrong. Also, there'll be impressions that God will impress upon your heart. There'll be some red flags as you go through. The red flag will come up and God say, "Take note of this." There'll be a give way sign and God say, "Yield, take care of that." Make sure, caution. I don't know if you've got these things down here, but we've got these signs up north. And they've got these three little slots there between Mackay and Bowen and Townsville. It's go, 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 go. Or caution, 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 especially if we've got floodwaters. You know, when it comes to the Word of God, as you read through it, sometimes the stop, go and caution. We need to follow God's word, and the flags are there. All right. Concerning our whole life, the Word of God will direct you according to the whole of your life. If you follow the Word of God, you find that the apostles, they walked and lived according to the Word of God, the will of God. They determined the will of God from the heart by the Scriptures, Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul makes reference to the will of God in his travels, Romans chapter 1 and verse 10. "If God wills, I will be there. I have a desire to go to Rome, and if God wills, I will be there." Well, I tell you what, Paul got to Rome. Maybe not the way he wanted to go, but he got there. He went over there on a ship. And, of course, we know that he was imprisoned there. and I even got to appear before Caesar, and all of Caesar's household got to hear the word of God we read in the scriptures. So Paul got to go there. So make your plans based on the will of God, according to James chapter 4, if you'll turn there, please. James chapter 4, let's go quickly there. James chapter 4, let's have a look at that. Make sure we determine the will of God based upon the word of God, James chapter 4. Now these young fellows, I'm talking to these young fellows on Thursday night, and one of them asked me a question, and I said, what we need to do is set our goals in concrete and make our plans in sand. I'll explain that to you a little bit Thursday night, so come along. So yeah, set your goals in concrete, but make your plans in sand, because you'll know you have an end goal and you will have goals that you want to establish, but there are things that you need to do in between, and sometimes you have to rearrange some of those things. All right, so James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Sometimes people will make plans. I'm going to do this and this and this. You know the story of the man there in Luke? He had so much stuff he didn't know what to do with it. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I know what I'll do. I will pull down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And then I'll plan to do this and this and this. I'll store up all those goods for many years and I'll lay back, I'll retire and enjoy these things. See, he thought he was wise. God said, thou fool. He thought he was going to live a long time. God said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He thought he's going to enjoy all these things. And God said, and who shall those things be? He was not real wise. So that's why it's wise to consult God, get the counsel of God, and make your plans according to the will of God. Sometimes we don't understand what God's doing, and I'll admit that. I met a man up in Rockhampton one time. He'd flown over from America. He was an American planning to come to Australia as a missionary. And I thought, well, praise the Lord, we need more preachers out here to establish churches, to get things going. And he went back to America and he's travelling around raising his support to come back to Australia to plant churches. And then I heard he was driving to a church on a Sunday night, and as he was driving, a deer came out and jumped off the side of the road, and he was killed. And I thought, wow. And that's when I say, well, Lord, I don't know what happened there, but you know, sometimes there's some things I don't question, but I have to say, you know, Lord, there's just some things sometimes I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you. Everything's going to be done. But I know that man had obeyed the desire of God to come to the mission field, and evidently the churches he went to presented the work. They too were pleased with what he was going to do, and so all of a sudden his life was taken from him. All right, so the last thing in this finding and knowing and doing the will of God is waiting on God. We need to wait on the Lord and ask him for guidance. Look over in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Now, I didn't tell you that story to unseat you. I just wanted to throw every facet out there and show you, set your goals in concrete, but make your plans in sand. I believe that man was doing the right thing, even though he may not have understood all of the things. And his parents and his own wife and children, they didn't understand either. But they were determined to know that this was God's will, and he was in the will of God when he was taken out by that deer smashing into his car. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on God. When in doubt, wait. I waited patiently for the Lord, the psalmist said. So when in doubt, wait. and it will help you to determine and do the will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that sometimes we get so impatient, we try to run ahead of you. Sometimes we lag behind because we're slack. But I pray, Lord, that we'd always be on time and always seeking your will and knowing your will based upon all these things we looked at, Lord, and we can put them all together and we can point and say, now I definitely know the will of God because the Spirit leads. I see the circumstances with God's guidance. I've got the counsel of godly friends and preachers, and I think, Lord, as we go through the Word of God, we've got the counsel of God's Word to guide us and the counsel of God's Spirit. So, Lord, for those who are struggling with the will of God tonight, I pray you'd work in their hearts, in their lives, and give them, Lord, the peace that passeth all understanding in all the decision-making that they need to have in determining and finding the will of God. Withhold them from making mistakes and stop them from, Lord, going the wrong direction, making the wrong decisions. Have your will and way in each heart and life tonight. Thank you for these people in this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Les, thank you.